I think that's just where he's feels most natural. I think that's over the course of high school, college, and now pros, that's probably where he's accumulated the most number of snaps. And so naturally, that's where he thrives. He feels pretty good being on the ball, no huddle, tempo type plays.
That is Bears head coach Ben Johnson talking about his quarterback, Caleb Williams. We welcome you back into the Rahimi and Harris Show, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. It is a Take the North takeover today. Dan Wiederer of The Athletic is here in studio. I am Mark Grody here in studio on The Score. And we are excited to talk more Bears football.
Bears.
Cassie Carlson is a friend. Fox 32 is a neighbor of The Score and friend. We like to do job exchange. Sometimes Dan and I go on Fox. Sometimes Cassie comes on with us. Sometimes Lou Canellis comes on with us. So it's a great neighbor relationship that we have going on here, I feel like, between The Score and Fox 32. Here's what you need to know about Cassie. She is the sports anchor and Bears reporter for Fox 32, host of the Bears Blitz Friday at 6 p.m. and after Friday college football at 8:30 Saturday mornings before the big noon kickoff, Bears Game Day Live, Sundays 9:30 to 11 a.m., special Monday Night Football edition this week, 5:30 until 7 o'clock p.m. She has a lot going on. Cassie Carlson joining us now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. How do you keep up with it all, Cassie?
I know. It's my favorite time of year, though, so I'm living for it right now, and I cannot wait for next Monday night.
Did I hear that when you sent this information about all the things that you have coming up on Fox 32, that Dan took that as an invitation to come on all of those particular shows?
I thought this was going to come up. It was one of those situations where you're like answering a text, or you think you are, and then you're having two completely different conversations, and suddenly someone's like, wait.
Dan's like, I don't have time.
This is my embarrassment brought to the airwaves here for sure.
Oh, you didn't think I'd do that to you, Dan?
Yeah, I did think you'd do that.
We're blaming the golf course, though. We're blaming the golf course. Dan was on the golf course.
Ah, the old golf course experience.
It's a valid
excuse. Drunk
as
a skunk, Cassie. That's what was going on.
Cassie, we've arrived here at the regular season. Thank God. You've had a lot of time since January to get to know Ben Johnson. You've had a handful of one-on-one sit-downs with him. What are your initial impressions of who Ben is and why he's resonated the way he has?
I think the word I keep going back to describe him is unflappable. He answers every question. No moment is too big. No question is nerving to him. He just answers the question and he moves on, and he doesn't really leave, I would say up until this week, maybe too much room for interpretation. You know, he likes to get it out there and just lay out how everything is. He's very honest, and I appreciate that about him. And just from the one-on-one conversations too, you kind of understand why players say they like playing for him, because he's really easy to talk to. And that's not the case with all head coaches. And you're kind of reminded that he's just kind of a normal guy. He's young. He can kind of hang and have normal conversations. And then as soon as you sit down and the interview starts, you're reminded of the intensity that he brings. And we've seen that on the practice field. We've seen it in press conferences. And I think in every interaction, you kind of see that there's two sides to Ben Johnson. And that's kind of what players have talked about too. It goes back to what DJ Moore said, you know, he's kind of scary and you don't know what he's thinking, because one moment he's yelling at you and staring you down, and then he cracks a smile. And I kind of think that's his personality. And that's how he's gotten to be the head coach of the Chicago Bears. So unflappable is something that's come to mind multiple times when I think about him. And I think it's going to be interesting, because I talk about not leaving room for interpretation. And then it was this week where he didn't want to answer the question about who's starting a left tackle.
Yeah.
And he said Ryan Poles can answer the questions about Jalen Johnson. So we'll see if that changes when the regular season comes in a week. But so far, I feel like he's nailed every test that he's been given. And you're hoping that, you know, when things maybe go awry in the season, he remains the same person.
Well, I would argue, Cassie, that things went awry a little bit yesterday when Micah Parsons landed with the Green Bay Packers. Do you think, and we could combine this into a couple of things, do you think Ben Johnson will become flappable when we ask him about that particular player now being on the Packers? And what do you think about Micah Parsons being on the Packers?
Maybe he'll say another line of you could ask Ryan Poles about.
Yeah. That. just ask Poles.
Ryan Poles, right? Just ask Ryan Poles. Yeah. Gosh, I had two like audible gasps this week when I opened social media. One was at practice when we were waiting for, I can't even remember what day, it was cut down day with the Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce engagement announcement. And then it was yesterday, I was sitting in the office at Fox 32 and I let out like an audible, you've got to be kidding me.
Yep, yep.
Because it changes the division. And we saw the betting odds all change in favor of the Green Bay Packers. And I think what I keep going back to is you look at every other team in the division who has a proven edge rusher, and the Bears don't have a proven edge rusher. And so you're looking at who's going to be the guy to get double-digit sacks on the Bears, and you're taking a gamble saying maybe this year it's Montez Sweat. He's only done it in the year he got traded, and he was on two different teams. And then I go back to Dio Odengbo, who to me has just been someone who has not flashed at all in training camp. And so you're taking a bet on him coming to Chicago, having a high ceiling and having a lot to prove, but you're paying him a lot of money for someone who hasn't really proven it in the league yet. And I just think that all these other teams now that you're going to see twice a year have someone who's proven it. And that's daunting when you're the Bears.
We walked into training camp feeling like the secondary was going to be the established strength, I think, of this team and certainly for the defense. And now we walk into the regular season wondering about some of the statuses of all these guys. Kyler Gordon missed a little bit of time in August. Jalen Johnson, we haven't seen him on a practice field in months. Jaquan Brisker leaves practice the other day, and we don't have a real good sense of clarity with what's going on there. What's your level of concern going to play the Vikings in week one with a secondary that we think is going to be really good as long as they're whole?
After the Kansas City game, I would say the concern level went way up because we saw that Nashawn Wright, who everyone thought might be competing with Tyreek Stevenson to earn that starting cornerback job opposite of Jalen Johnson. Maybe he was someone that Dennis Allen and Al Harris really, really liked. And then you saw him get beat multiple times with a couple penalties and then a big gain. And you're like, is he cut out for this man-to-man coverage? Does he have the speed that you're going to need in Dennis Allen's scheme? And so after that, the concern level, I'm like, if Jalen Johnson is not on the field for week one, I don't know how in the world the Bears are going to beat this Vikings team, because they got Justin Jefferson, who if I had to guess is going to play, and Jalen Johnson. I remember talking to him at his camp, which was right before he got hurt, and reporting to training camp. And he was like, I cannot wait for all these receivers that we're going to see this season, including Justin Jefferson week one. And this is someone who has always said he wants to go up against the best. He's always said he wants to travel, and it seemed like maybe this year it was trending in that direction. Press man coverage is something that he is like excited to show off in his skill set. So if Jalen Johnson's not out there and you have Tyreek Stevenson and Nashawn Wright as your two starting cornerbacks, I'm concerned, because I think that they just don't have the discipline that Jalen Johnson has. And I think even if Jalen Johnson is out there, there is a level of concern that he hasn't practiced at all. And we only saw him go through a pregame warm-up once before the Bills preseason game, and I thought he looked pretty good at the time. But the tone totally changed this past week that, you know, there are setbacks when you're going through soft tissue injuries. And so now they're hoping that he's back for week one, but it didn't seem as surefire as it was a couple weeks ago.
Grody Cassie just confessed to being the last person to see Jalen Johnson healthy.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
At the camp. I don't know what happened to the leg.
At the camp. I know. I'm like, did this happen at the camp? He was out there with the kids. No, I don't think it did.
That is amazing. Cassie Carlson from Fox 32 joining us here on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, Mark Grody and Dan Weider in for Raheemian Harris. While we're talking about the defense and that first game against Minnesota, how are you with the pass rushers on the Bears? Do you feel good about that situation, or do you think the Bears should have done more in this offseason?
I mean, I think you can always say you wish they did more. I think that's still a huge area of concern, just because you haven't seen it show up in a game in a regular season in the past handful of years. And it goes back to, you bring in Dio Odengbo, who is he going to have double digit sacks this season? And is he enough to take away some chips off of Montez Sweat? I'm just not quite sure. I think maybe in Dennis Allen's scheme, they can scheme up some different types of pressures that, you know, would help get to the quarterback. And that's Dennis Allen's mentality that he's trying to bring to this defense, is becoming aggressive. And I think there's just still, there's no proven players. Like, there's players with a lot to prove, but there are not any proven players outside of, you could say Grady Jarrett, but is that enough to change the entire defensive line? I'm not so sure. You're looking at Jerbon Dexter, who always says that he has more to prove and he wants to become more consistent over the entirety of the season. And that's something that he's worked on and he's trying to improve. Is just, he got his sacks early on last season and then it totally trailed off towards the end of the season. So how can he sustain that kind of pressure throughout the entire season is something that he still needs to prove, as he is trying to play for a contract extension as well. They talk about rush and coverage working together, right? And so in Dennis Allen's scheme, you're going to play man coverage. You need to get to the quarterback. Otherwise, I don't know how these cornerbacks in the secondary is going to fare if there's just no pressure on the quarterback. And I think you saw in that Kansas City game, it was a little bit concerning in my eyes that you were watching one of those drives and the D linemen were gassed after like the first and second drive of that game. And you're wondering, do they not have enough to go up against these top tier quarterbacks who they're going to see a lot of this season? Because you look at their schedule and it's like, all right, you're going to see Joe Burrow, you're going to see Lamar Jackson, Jared Goff, Jordan Love, like the list goes on and on and on. Yeah. Jalen Hurts. So I think it's a huge area of concern, and the defense obviously all is together as one unit, but up front, you're really hoping that Montez Sweat comes to life and he is fully healthy this year. You're hoping that Dio Odengbo in this scheme, whether he's on the outside or he kicks inside, can find ways to get to the quarterback. If not, I think it's going to be a long year for that secondary, especially.
There's so much here riding on this season in regards to how Ben and Caleb sort of coexist, right? And how Ben coaches Caleb and how Caleb responds. Knowing what you know about both guys, what convinces you, or I guess concerns you, that Ben's personality and Caleb's personality will be a long-term click?
I think that they're still, if I had to guess, still trying to figure each other out, because remember, Caleb Williams asked to be coached hard. Mm-hmm. And I think he's getting coached harder than he probably thought he would ever get coached. And they threw the kitchen sink at him in training camp, which from everyone that said or talked about it said that's how you have to do it. And now Ben Johnson is going to dial things back. I think Ben Johnson, though, is smart enough and one of those like football offensive minded gurus where he will be able to sit back this week as they start game planning for Minnesota and say, these are the plays that I know Caleb Williams can handle, and I am going to be able to put him in the best position possible to make sure that he can go out there and help this team win games. And I think the message really doesn't have to be much different than it was a year ago when Caleb Williams came in as a rookie and Ryan Poles said, just be a point guard and distribute the ball to your playmakers, because he still has a ton of playmakers. And we know Caleb Williams can play hero ball if he needs to, but he shouldn't have to, and he shouldn't revert back to those habits of playing hero ball all the time. Like, get the ball out. I think there's going to be a lot of checkdowns. We might see more screen plays. Yards after the catch, we know, is going to be huge in Ben Johnson's offense. And then run the football. And I think if they can run the football effectively this year with DeAndre Swift and who else is back at this point, right?
Anybody else? Anybody want to run the ball?
Grody.
I think that just alleviates so much pressure off of Caleb Williams. Mind you, they have bolstered the interior of their offensive line. So run the ball, and then Caleb Williams, just get the ball to your playmakers. There's a lot of mouths to feed. So find the open guy, go through your progressions, and get the ball out quickly.
I don't know exactly how to pose this question to you, Cassie Carlson of Fox 32, in regards to Caleb Williams. Well, look, this topic makes everybody nervous in the media, and that is the patience. That what kind of patience do you think fans will have when it comes to Caleb Williams? And I say it's like an unnerving question, because every one of us has gotten crushed by Bears fans, if a certain segment anyway, if we are to be critical of Caleb Williams in any way, shape, or form. So that tells me there are some that are very patient for Caleb Williams, or still think that he is going to be elite. I guess, what is the least that he can do this year to make Bears fans happy, and how patient do you think Bears fans will be with yet another first-round quarterback prospect?
It's interesting, because Caleb Williams is a polarizing figure.
Uh-huh.
And it's not just nationally, but it is locally, I think, in a lot of ways, too. And I think the extension of Tyson Bagent kind of threw some fuel on that a little bit, too, because there's a huge contingency that loves Tyson Bagent. I don't think Tyson Bagent should be starting any games, right? Like, Caleb Williams is by far superior than Tyson Bagent and has a higher ceiling than Tyson Bagent. We should not be talking about that right now. But I think what's going to get interesting is the way they start this season, because as Ben Johnson has said, it's just been too sloppy and he's disappointed in how they looked in Kansas City. I don't think the Bears offense is where maybe Ben Johnson thought it would be heading into week one, with a lot of the minute details to make sure there are no pre-snap penalties, that pre-snap procedure that they have emphasized all of training camp. So if that lingers on into the first 4 weeks before the bye week, and they go into the bye week, say, oh gosh, dare I say 0-4? Or
why did you just do that?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
What, Cassie said the Bears are gonna be 0-4? What?
No. These are all hypotheticals. Or 1-3. It is going to be a very, very loud 2 weeks before going into Washington, those storylines are going to be crazy going into it. And so I think it's more so like, how can the Bears and Caleb Williams manage the outside noise? And yet again, another year of expectations, because the expectations are high in this city. And Ben Johnson said they can win right now. And if it's the quarterback that's holding them back from winning right now, everyone is going to be talking about it. Caleb Williams, though, in year two, I think a lot of people are considering this like almost a second rookie season because of how last year went with the ups and downs with the coaching staff. If I had to imagine, I think he has a very long leash. And I think if they're in close games and they win some of them and it doesn't unravel like a lot of the close games did last year, and I don't think they would with the new head coach and the experience he has with play calling, I think that Bears fans will be a little bit more patient.
Wait, what happened in Washington?
I don't know what she's talking about. What's
that all about? Yeah. What does that mean? Cassie,
we suppressed that.
Seriously.
Yeah, we blocked that out.
At some point in time, we are going to all have to put that last year away once and for all.
No
question. I don't know if we can.
I don't know. You're right. You're right, Cassie.
Cassie, the next time we walk out to House Hall, it will be a game week. I know that is super exciting for all of us that have to go out there and cover this team on the long buildup. You obviously spent an entire offseason doing a show called The Offseason. So what is it like for you on the excitement level now to be crossing over the bridge into a week where we actually have a game coming up for the Chicago Bears?
I love it. I love it so much. My favorite thing about football season, one, is football is king, NFL is king, especially in a city like Chicago. And it's the waking up every day and knowing exactly where you're going to be, when it's going to happen, and who you're going to talk to. And then there's also the, well, what are the people that you're going to talk to? What are they going to say? Because this is when the fun really starts. You get the open locker room, which I think you get a little bit more authentic answers from some of these players than when they're standing up at the podium. And as we have all experienced that, in the Bears season, there's always something unexpected that happens and always something that you'll look back on and be like, wow, I can't believe that this is where we're at. And that's kind of the nature of the beast. And that's part of the reason why I love it. But no, I always say like every Sunday is like the Super Bowl for us at Fox because of the pregame show, the excitement of waking up early. I get to the stadium at like 7 a.m. And I love walking into the stadium early in the morning. No one else is in there except for like me and the security guards, and like taking it all in and knowing you have a long day ahead. And it's live or die for not only this team, a lot of us in the media, and also the city of Chicago.
Yeah, spot on. And when I did sidelines, I remember that with that heck, the pandemic season, that was something, man. When there's no fans in the stands, I had 500 bathrooms in my place down there on the sidelines. So it was great. Cassie, last thing here. Maybe people know this or they don't know this, but Cassie is an influencer. She once influenced me to buy some sick Adidas. Are you wearing your sick green Adidas right now as we do this hit?
I thought about putting them on just for you, Grody, but they are green. And I actually have a fear of wearing them to Hallis Hall, because I think if George McCaskey were to see me, he would call me out and embarrass me.
Oh, because
they're kind of Packers green.
Wow. I never even thought about that. That's like when I was doing sidelines and working with Joniak and Thayer and all those guys, I walked in on Packers Day and I was wearing a green shirt. I didn't even think about it. Joniak looks at me and he literally goes, "You got to be kidding me." And I'm pretty sure he was serious. Like, "You got to be kidding me." And I was like, "Oh, I didn't even know." And he just looked away. So he wouldn't have it. So
yeah.
I get where you're coming from.
I won't be wearing them to Hallis, but yours are cool. Yours are like Rams colors. Yours
they are
blue and yellow.
Yes, they are. You're right. They're Rams colors, which I think that's okay.
That's fine.
Right? The Bears have handled. Bears have had some nice wins over the Rams through the years.
Yeah,
they're not a threat. That's a great way to put it. Cassie, you are the absolute best. Looking forward to seeing you out at Hallis Hall next week. Thank you for coming on The Score.
Thanks for having me, guys. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Cassie.
As always, there goes Cassie Carlson of Fox 32. Does a great job with all of those shows that we just talked about, and obviously covering the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, and I guess I'm not invited to all of them anymore.
Yeah. That's so... You thought this song was about you, huh, Dan? Is that what it is?
One day I'll take screen grabs of The Exchange. It'll be funny.
That's so hilarious. When we come back... Prince Amukamara, who was in tandem with Kyle Fuller on that Bears 2018 team. We will have the pleasure of talking to Prince Amukamara next here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
As it just so happens, Alan, Prince Amukamara going to be on the show tomorrow, man.
Prince was a press guy, so I always like to get a lot of work against him. You know, me and Prince also played with each other in Jacksonville as well. You know, so we had a lot of experience of each other for the time in Jacksonville. So once I got to Chicago, you know, he was a familiar face. You know, so we definitely got some one-on-one reps during training camp as well.
Man, I loved hearing that Prince Amukamara. Week 2, sick pick 6 against Seattle. Magical thing happened in the year 2018 as we welcome you back into the Rahimi and Harris Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, along with Dan Wiederer. I am Mark Grody, and yes, we are thrilled to have joining us here on The Score right now. It is Prince Amukamara. He joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. He is also proudly wearing Nebraska gear today, if you're watching on Twitch right now. Prince, what's going on, man?
Man, what's going on, you guys? I'm happy to be on.
Prince, it's great to have you. I imagine that Huskers game was pretty exciting for you last night, huh?
Yeah, it was very exciting. I mean, and that's just great football, down to the wire, 2-minute drills, and then obviously a defensive guy being excited that a defensive back gets the interception to close the game. So that's the way to go. And then the greatest formation in football is victory formation, and Dylan Raiola gets it done.
We've got a lot that we want to get to you with, and one of the things obviously that's shaking the league right now is the Micah Parsons trade. And obviously you were a part of a trade in 2018 that enlivened the Bears locker room and the Bears defense, and it's the obvious comp of Khalil Mack coming to Hallis Hall. What do you make, one, of the Packers acquiring Micah Parsons, and how do you compare it to what happened for you guys when Khalil walked in that building in 2018?
It's so funny because me and Allen Robinson, me and A-Rob have been following a lot of football simply because of the podcast that we've just started up. But that was one of the situations we were talking about, like what's going to happen. And we both predicted it would be a Khalil type trade, meaning it's going to be later in the season. The deal's going to get done. Micah is going to get his money, but it will be to a different team. And slowly but surely he goes to Green Bay. And it's shocking though for me because what A-Rob has taught me, usually the best players never leave the team. It's super rare. Like Tom Brady rarely hits free agency and stuff like Patrick Mahomes, I doubt will probably hit free agency, or won't happen for a long, long time. But for Micah, for that to happen to Micah, is especially having a star in his helmet, it was super shocking. But David Mulligetta is a great agent, and he gets things done for his guys, and it happened. But it's going to make a huge impact on Green Bay. Everyone obviously is going to welcome him with open arms, and it's just it instantly makes their defense better.
Yeah, it was a shock to the system of just about everybody, I think, in the city of Chicago, as we're talking to Prince Amukamara on The Score, the co-host to which he just referred. And you should listen to it and subscribe to it and check it out right now if you'd like. It's the Press Release Podcast, which, as Prince said, he performs that with Allen Robinson, both of whom played with the Bears, and especially on that 2018 team. Prince was here between 2017 and 2019. So what are you saying? Obviously, before the Micah Parsons deal to the Green Bay Packers, and I don't know if that changes your equation in the division, but I actually just want to ask you specifically about what you've been saying about the Chicago Bears on the podcast. What do you, when you look at this team, do you think that this is a team that is potential for the playoffs, or no, this is kind of a first-year head coach kind of situation where they are building something?
No, I don't think they're in rebuild mode. I think if anything, they're building onto what they already have with the coach. But I think when we look at an organization, when we look at a team, the position we look at is quarterback. And so we have that in the guy of Caleb Williams. He has his weapons. The defense is stacked, especially anchoring it with Jalen Johnson. So we have our number one corner. We have the recipe to win. And yes, Micah going into that conference, it kind of makes the road a little harder. But from what I hear, what A-Rob tells me about Ben Johnson, and just from seeing the clips of how, anytime you get a new coach, you have to see how the players respond to the coach.
Yeah.
Are they having fun with him? Do they respect him? And from what I've seen and from what I've heard and read, they love him. And I don't know how people are going to take this, but I mean this in the best way. It's giving me like Matt Nagy type vibes, which 2018.
Right.
Matt Nagy type vibes, meaning Coach Nagy brought this type of energy where just play freely. We're going to have fun. You guys know the club dub, like just who cares if you make a mistake, just play hard. Mm. And I think that's the atmosphere. That's the energy that Coach Ben is bringing. And yeah, I think it's going to be great. I mean, it starts Monday with the Vikings, which I will be in attendance.
Oh,
on,
nice.
And yeah. And so it's going to be a great game.
Where are you going to be? Is it alumni weekend for the first game?
It is. And I thank you for saying that. I was afraid to say it. I didn't know if I'm allowed to say it, but I'm sure that they've talked about it, but yeah. And it looks like they're going to be, they're going to be, what's the word? They're going to be showcasing the Super Bowl team. And, Mr. Payne's, Walter Payne's wife, Steve McMichael's wife, right?
Yeah.
Steve McMichael, right? Yep. Okay. Yep. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's all good. No, we appreciate you confirming that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Prince, you beat me to it because the next place I was going to go was to that 2018 season and the crossover from you were here in Fox's last year and you guys were a last place football team that then became a first place football team rather rapidly with a coach that became Coach of the Year.
Coach of the Year, yes.
Yeah. What's the secret sauce that a team needs to feel buy-in in the new guy that takes over and is selling something?
Yeah, I think what we want to see is, okay, does this guy have a plan, right? Like this guy knows, this guy should have, when I say this guy, this head coach should have done his research, see how our team was last year, where we need to improve, where we're lacking, what our strengths are, and play up to it. And so I feel like Coach Nagy did that in saying with Trubisky, like, dude, like, Trubisky threw, was it 5 or 6 touchdowns and a half against
Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Trubisky goes to the Pro Bowl. And then when Khalil comes, I feel like we already had a pretty solid defense. Mm-hmm. Then when Khalil comes, it opens things up for Akeem Hicks. It opens things up for Eddie Jackson, me, Kyle, like everybody just gets better. And so we truly have the recipe, and I hate the woulda, shoulda, coulda, but if we would have took care of what we should have taken care of against the Eagles. I think I think the rest is history, because it was just that season was just so magical. I was shocked that we lost. Like I really believe that we were going to going to win the whole thing.
Wow.
And even when I was on the Giants, my rookie year, I didn't feel like that. Every game was like, oh shoot, we got through another one. But the Eagles, and not to say we took the Eagles lightly, but we just had so much confidence. Like when we shut down the Rams 17-3,
that was awesome.
You guys have me reminiscing.
Oh yeah.
Over here,
that was
but it's
awesome.
It's just like we were, and it just shows, like how it just helps us appreciate what KC has been able to do.
Yeah.
And just having that that standard of excellence for so many years, and your window is so short because there's so much turnover in the rosters and every year, and so it's so tough.
Because
2019 we weren't the same team.
Yeah, I just think about that Rams game. I'm sorry, wasn't it a cold night, if I remember.
Yeah, yes. Sunday night game.
They bring the jacket on for Todd Gurley, and I'm like, yes, we got him. Yeah. Like, you know, running backs are supposed to have no sleeves, supposed to be gritty, supposed to be tough, and he gets a jacket on the field. We're like, yes. Like as a defense, we're like, we got him.
It's on.
Eddie Goldman with an early safety in that game. I'm going to take you to another very specific moment in that season while we're reminiscing, because this was a big one for you on social media. Thanksgiving Day, Eddie Jackson gets a game-sealing pick at Ford Field.
Save the day.
To beat the Lions. And then the next thing you know, we've got another choreographed celebration with you as the front man. Can you take us through your memories of that and then the reaction that elicited amongst everybody on social media?
Yeah, so weeks before that, even throughout the season, so it started, obviously, we started taking the ball over a lot, like whether it's sack fumbles, whether it's interceptions, and we're like, hey, this is going to start becoming a theme. We have to be ready to do something. And so we would always have something rehearsed, and it would be something that was inclusive that everyone can do. And so that week we said we were going to do like a kind of like a boy band type thing. And then when Eddie got the pick, they just gave me the ball. This Prince, go, go, go. I'm like, what? And then, so I just went into performance mode, and then that's when it became the Motown or whatever it was. But yeah, we kind of like improv'd it, and it was fun.
Hashtag Bears sing to anything.
Yeah, absolutely. And then therefore you were the choreographer, right?
Yeah,
Prince, like you were
exactly.
The guy who was second in command, because we know you were the top dog, but who was your vice choreographer?
Yeah, I would say Eddie Jackson, Eddie or Kyle. But it's funny because Kyle is not a dancer. You guys know Kyle, the demeanor. Like Kyle's very serious, very, very, very reserved. And so, but Kyle started getting into it, like, hey, you're right. Like, hey, let's do this and stuff like that. So I would say Kyle or Eddie.
What wasn't Roquan a bad dancer too? Wasn't he famously bad?
He was a little stiff.
Yeah,
he was a little stiff, but he would have fun too. And I forgot about Roquan. That was, I don't even want to go back down that. That was probably one of my favorite times of playing football.
It really was. And I know, like, it's a regular season, and it was a heartbreaker in the end. But that season, it was an absolute blast. Like, legit elite defense, just enough offense. And I know the offense never got to where everybody wanted it to be, but it was an absolute blast of a team. One more, like, question about the Bears of now, if we move back into it. You did mention Jalen Johnson, you know, pointing out the Bears have a number one cornerback. I assume you're talking about Jalen Johnson. What makes him so good?
He's what coaches or other players would call is just a dog. Like, you can tell he wants to guard the number one. Like he wants that responsibility. He's gritty. He goes and gets the ball. He tackles. He's an all around solid corner. And for the longest time, I mean, I still believe now he's still underrated and unintentionally disrespected. I think that there are a lot of not a lot. There's probably a handful of great corners, and I feel like his name doesn't get in the conversation as it should. But when you talk about receivers, like who's one of the hardest corners to go up against. Jalen Johnson's name comes up. I remember when I left, I would talk to A-Rob. I said, hey, like, because that's basically, Jalen was basically my replacement. I think when I left, mm-hmm. he came, and he was Kyle's, he replaced Kyle too. So when I left, he came, and I would ask A-Rob, I said, how he said, oh yeah, he's going to be good. He's going to be good. And I said, okay, well, shoot, I got to accept that. You know, I got to accept that. And he's very, very, he's very, very good, very disciplined. And you can tell he wants to get better every season, but he's super underrated. I don't know why, but hopefully he continues to play how he's playing and continues to get better so he can get the respect he deserves.
Prince, this has been great. Thank you so much for taking the time on a Friday to do it. We support the Press the Release podcast with Allen Robinson. We'd love to have you on sometime during the season as well. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Prince.
For sure. No problem. Thanks for having me.
Yep, absolutely. That's Prince Amukamara, former Chicago Bears cornerback.
Former Good Guy Award winner as well.
Oh, we didn't even bring that up to him.
We were talking about that earlier today. We had back-to-back years. Prince Amukamara and Allen Robinson were Media Good Guy Award winners, which, and you can see why from these interviews today and yesterday that you did with Allen Robinson.
Yeah.
These guys, they bring it, right?
They do.
They bring the insight that they're engaging, and it's really good to reconnect.
Coming up next, hot takes gone bad on the Raheemi and Harris Show on The Score with me, Mark Grody, and him, Dan Weeder, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You're listening to Raheemi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Mm-hmm. A little dancing going on up in here.
I'm taking of the pill of 1, 2, 3. If you want to do the rhyme, then come see me.
Whoa! Hello! Wow, you even got Tannehill's attention, man. Welcome back into the Raheemi and Harris Show. That's Dan Weeder over there, all beastie boying up. I am Mark Grody. It's the Raheemi and Harris Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We got some bad hot takes to get to, but I have been told we have a mystery guest here on The Score.
Uh-oh.
Joining us now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline, download the Circa app today, is, I don't know, mystery caller, you are on The Score.
Well, thank you for taking my call, Mark. I was wondering, could you explain to me the infield fly rule? I'm kind of confused.
Oh, my goodness. It is my mom. It is my mother who, Jean Grody, on the phone right now and on The Score. Happy birthday to you, mother. Over 50,000 watts of radio.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. You know, the only other time I called you was when you were in Springfield.
Oh, God, you're going to tell this story? Oh, my God. Yeah, we were, okay. So, oh, boy, now I got to tell this. And the infield fly rule thing. My dad, every time I go home now, he's at, hey, what's this infield fly rule? What's this thing? There's an infield fly rule the other day, and I don't know what it is. So I'm trying to get it through to him. So, Dad, you feel like you have nailed the infield fly rule? I hear you in the background.
Oh, okay. Yes, I'm pretty well. I pretty well understand how it works, you know. So
okay,
you can talk to mom and just tell okay. her how to do it.
This is every conversation with my parents. Just talk to your mother. I'll stay in the background and I will. Yeah. So okay, really quickly, and I can't be as explicit. Back in the 90s, I can't be. It was the year, I don't know, 97 or 98. And we were on the radio, and we were talking about something sexual. Let's just put it that way. Yes. And, you know, I'm in Springfield. You know, it's just the start of online stuff. And I'm not expecting my parents to listen to me being irreverent in Springfield, Illinois. And I'll be damned if my mom didn't call during a very uncomfortable topic. I said, what is going on over there? I hear you talking about some things that I don't approve of. And I did this. Ah!
I think it was a Mark Edward Grody moment.
It was a Mark Edward Grody moment, and now the world knows my middle name, too. There it is. Yes. Well, I hope you're feeling great on your 80th birthday, Mom. Dad,
did you get her a good day?
Did you get her something good, Dad?
Go ahead.
Yes, he did.
Okay.
He actually did. He had He had a personal shopper do it for him, but it was a very nice gift.
Okay. I may have had a personal shopper as well. But
yes, I know about the
personal
shopper.
Of course. Of course. Aunt Rhonda wants to be the hero. Exactly.
Yes.
I'm going to have words with her tonight. Yeah, I thought this was private. Yeah. But Aunt Rhonda's like, oh, don't worry. I'll take care of it. I'll order it, and then you just pay me when we get there. So it's out in the open, huh?
Well, I caught her when she was bringing one of the personal shopping items over to Dad.
Okay. So. You don't know what it is, do you? You could tell me.
No, I don't.
Okay.
Aunt Rhonda caught red-handed.
She doesn't go that far. Yes. She likes surprises.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Rhonda does love. Well, I'll see you guys in a couple hours. Looking forward to partying with you guys tonight.
Okay.
And Dad, be ready for the infield fly rule.
I'm ready. Okay. Thank
Happy
you.
Birthday, Mrs. Grody.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Bye, Mom.
Okay, love you, Mark.
Love you, too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
What an awesome moment.
That was very, very... By the way, that's how our calls go. It's my mom putting the phone on speaker after she answers on her watch, and then it's always, okay, hold on, I have to transfer to the speakerphone. The speakerphone comes on, and Dad's in the background shouts, hey, ask him about what he was talking about in the score. Huh? What were you talking about? So that's you just heard every conversation that we have, except for some of the extra stuff. All right, we don't have time for the hot takes, do we? That's okay. We got some cool stuff coming up here, including I would like to give something away to the people here right now. It's Riot Fest time. And if you are caller number 6 to the score contest line, 312-540-0670, you will win a pair of general admission tickets to Riot Fest on Sunday, September 21st, featuring performances by Green Day, not Green Bay, Bad Religion, Idols, Inhaler, and more. Good luck to you. We will transition next on this. We're going live to Sluggers next. We're going to Wrigleyville to meet up with Judson Richards, and Gabe is out there as well. So I am looking forward to talking to my old buddies out there at Sluggers here in just a little bit. Gabe Ramirez and Judson Richards are next on The Score.